Here and to talk to you about a subject that's very dear to my heart, both intellectually and also very deeply spiritually. I take people on vortex tours, and I have for a number of years, but I'm not just there, to show people the places. It also deeply affects me and is one of my ways in which I recharge and renew my spiritual beliefs. So it's a very personal thing for me as well. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about what vortexes are and the background behind them. For centuries, human beings have been drawn to particular physical, geographical spots on the planet. They've been drawn to them. They've felt different in these places. They felt like something was unique there. And it's been going on for a very long time. There's a number of examples. Stonehenge, for example, has been a place of a long-standing spiritual ceremony and where people seem to have unique human reactions to that particular location. There have been a number of physical sites that have become sacred to tribal peoples. A few examples are, of course, Thunder Mountain in Sedona itself, which is sacred to the Yavapai, Mount Shasta, which is sacred to a number of California tribes, including the Modoc. There's also, in Australia, of course, Mount Ayers, or Ayers Rock, which is sacred to the Aborigines. There's Machu Picchu, of course, in Peru. There's Mount Fuji in Japan, which is sacred to the Shinto beliefs, where the Shinto gods and goddesses were ancient in Japan. But there are also places, not just where tribal people find their spiritual center, but there are places where modern people have been attracted. And they make pilgrimages to these places because they feel different. They feel special. They seem to get some sort of enlightenment from these places that they don't get in their everyday lives from where they live. So as a result, many of these places have also been the centers for spiritual and religious shrines. Rome's Cathedral in France is a good example. The pyramids of Egypt. The Aztec and Mayan pyramids of Mexico and Central America. The great Tibetan monastery, Lhasa, in Tibet. The Temple of Delphi in Greece is another good example. These all have man-made structures, but they seem to be imbued with some spiritual energy that inspires, that renews, and some people even say that even heals. You know, what makes these places so unique? What is there? What's the background? These experiences have been going on, like I said, for centuries. And it's been true of a wide variety of human beings, no matter where they live or what their racial or ethnic background is. So something must be going on. Something must be real. So there is a factual basis for these reactions. Now, what I'm about to introduce has been fairly well dismissed by scientists. They admit that the Earth has an electromagnetic field, but they don't go much beyond that. But that is where all this begins. The Earth is in the center of a magnetic well that actually displaces and distorts time and space. It was first theorized by Albert Einstein in the early 20th century in his theories of relativity, and has been proved since then experimentally in recent years. But that is where the scientists stop. It is a most powerful force, and not completely understood, gravity is. It holds us in our place, not only in the universe, in our solar system, but also on this planet. Its interacting magnetic fields can be measured and documented, and they have been. But that's where the scientists stop, as I say. But more curious and exploratory investigators have taken that further. And it was first spelled out in a consistent and a clear manner by Alfred Watkins in 1921 in England. He first used the term ley lines. Now, he used that term as a tool for explaining the geographical interconnection of spiritual and sacred places in Great Britain. That's about as far as he took it. The more spiritual use of these ley lines and power spots was developed later by another Englishman by the name of John Michell. These pathways of electromagnetic energy have been mapped across the globe. And it is true that most, if not all, of our spiritual centers are located along one or more of these ley lines. A major one in Europe, of course, runs right through England and down through France. And along this line is Stonehenge, Reims Cathedral, and when it crosses over the Atlantic and into this country, Teotihuacan. The pyramids of Egypt are also along a ley line. The great Buddhist temple facility at Angkor Wat is along a ley line. Sedona, of course, is, and so is Mount Shasta. And right here in the United States, there's a major confluence of ley lines that comes down the eastern coast of the United States and passes right through our region of western North Carolina. Mount Mitchell is the focal point of all these ley lines. In fact, there are several that come into one place in Mount Mitchell. The Black Mountain ley line, the Linville, the Transylvania, the Nantahala, the Cherokee, the Balsam Mountain, and the Smoky Mountain ley line all come together there. So Mount Mitchell is extremely, extremely powerful. As a result of all these ley lines and lines of electromagnetic force focusing in this area, as my wife has said, there's over 30 vortexes and power spots in this region alone. In comparison, as we said, Sedona has maybe 7 or 8, and many spots have only 1 or 2. So we are actually very blessed in this region. Now, as an example of this, since this is so prevalent, I imagine a number of you have probably experienced something special here yourselves, either at a church you go to, or a geographic place, or along a river, or a creek, or lake. Can anyone volunteer what places where they have felt a very special energy and like to go from time to time? Any places like that here? Yes, ma'am.
Vortex and cashiers.
And cashiers? Uh-huh. Which one? Okay.
Do you know that one?
Is Fairview Lake beneath Whiteside Mountain?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that one.
All right.
But it is really powerful.
And what do you feel there, ma'am?
Just a lot of expansion. Just really feel good to be there. Renewal.
Does it feel like a safe place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely.
A sacred place.
And a safe and sacred.
You just feel so good there.
Yeah. Excellent. Any other examples?
Well, I've been traveling all down the East Coast itself, and it's got a lot of quartz, which is higher frequency, and especially a very spiritual place, very much connected with God and the Creator, and there's a lot of water here. Mm.
That's exactly the sort of thing that is possible if you want to use them to that extent, yes.
You said this place, where?
Yeah, any particular ones?
When I was 9, I drowned.
Not
in
the
vortices here?
Yeah.
You said this place.
Well, this whole area is filled with quartz.
Yeah, it is.
So because that and the water and the plant life, it helps to become a magnet for these ley lines.
Out in Cowie, it's nothing but quartz.
Yeah. Cowie Valley?
Mm-hmm.
That's one I'm familiar with, yeah.
You can pick up a piece of pure quartz in some of these mountain areas, and the ants will crawl all over it if you remove it.
Nature knows.
Huh?
Nature knows.
Also, St. Sophia.
Still there.
In Istanbul.
Pagans, of course, have had a number. So as we've talked about, and as you guys have shared, these vortexes are not just places where people feel different. They are also places of spiritual attraction, where people can find some sort of spiritual connection. Uh-huh. And that has been true for a long, long time. And it's true regardless of what religion we're talking about, right? The Christians have a number of locations that are all...
The Christian church,
yeah,
took the locations,
right,
of the pagan religions,
right,
and placed their...
That happened any number of times, yes, throughout history. A number of our churches like that exist in Great Britain, but also in France, right, in what used to be known as Gaul. What?
Oh,
in the United States as well, yeah, yeah. Not unusual. I mean, it's a natural attraction, right? And they may not know exactly why they were doing it, but they felt compelled to do so, and they did. The Hindus also have a number of shrines in vortices and spiritual locations. Ayodhya shrine, which is in the birthplace of Lord Rama, the Vaishnu Devi temple, and the Badranath temple, which is the home of Lord Vishnu. And the Buddhists, of course, a number of those are very well known. The monasteries, I've said, in Lhasa. The Japanese shrine at Kamakura, where the great giant Buddha is located. And, of course, the Cambodian temple site of Angkor Wat. Various spiritual explorers have also categorized and located a number of these vortices and power spots. And in terms of our modern history, that all began with a lady I'm sure you guys are all familiar with, Paige Bryant. She first spelled it out for Sedona, and she's also done it for Western North Carolina. But there's been a number of other people who've taken up the torch from her. Dick Sutphin is another good example of a metaphysical teacher, spiritual leader, who has developed meditations for power spots. There's also been a number of Native American spiritual leaders who also use these vortices and power spots for spiritual ceremony. Sun Bear, Keith Eaglefeather, and Don Juan, of course. Now, how have they classified these vortices, right? What are they about? They all have different energies, and there have been three main types that have been identified. The terms that are used vary depending on who likes what. Sometimes they're called electric. Sometimes they're called magnetic or electromagnetic. Sometimes they're called male, female, or mixture. Sometimes they're called positive or negative or mixture. I prefer the terms electric, magnetic, and electromagnetic because they have less negative connotations than some of the other terms might have. So those are the ones I tend to use. So let's first consider an electric vortex. This is a place where the earth energy rises up out of the site. Those who claim they can see such things actually see a column of visible energy rising up from these locations. What do these sites usually look like? Well, they usually have an elevated or high point, which has a great vista or view across a large number of miles. Some good examples of these are Mount Shasta, Airport Mesa in Sedona, and Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, for example, is another one. How people react to these places, of course, is kind of individual, right? It can vary. But in general, there have been some general classifications that most people seem to fit into. In an electric vortex, most people feel very uplifted, very inspired. They have a broader perspective on their life, whether it be simply their day-to-day life or in their spiritual development. And they might even feel a sense of uplifting and enlightenment in an electric vortex. And the next type is a magnetic vortex, or sometimes known as a female vortex. This is where the electromagnetic energy of Earth flows into the Earth. It's flowing in, it comes down into the Earth. And this is the sort of place that looks very green and very verdant. Sometimes it's in a valley, sometimes it isn't, but it's usually very green and verdant. A lot of trees, a lot of plants, flowers, and undergrowth. Good examples of this are Cathedral Rock along Oak Creek in Sedona. There's the Oregon Vortex on the west coast also. The Bermuda Triangle is an infamous example of this. Meteor Crater in Arizona, all are female or magnetic vortexes. The feeling people usually get in female or magnetic vortexes is a sense of introspection, a pensiveness, and they get wrapped up in their thoughts. Now, sometimes these vortexes, like the Bermuda Triangle, they're not the only one, come to be known as negative vortexes. There's even one writer that referred to them as evil vortexes. Because a lot of times the first emotional reaction that comes up is one of fear. But if you can work through that and not get caught up in it and not get obsessed by that, and let that pass and go to the other side, it can be very inspiring. This reaction of fear is very common in also some of the other work I do, because I am also a person of what I call a shamanic practitioner, and I have led people on shamanic meditations. And there's a meditation that takes you deep within the earth, as if in a cavern. And oftentimes, a lot of reaction to people doing an inner shamanic trip is fear. They have to confront their fears first. So this is a very common reaction. But if you get beyond that, it can be healing, it can be relaxing, you can release a lot. And as a number of people have said, if you stay with it, eventually you feel very safe, very protected. It's a place where you can just let go. And let's face it, we all need to do that every now and then, right? Now, some examples of female vortexes, or magnetic, is Boynton Canyon in Sedona, Arizona. And part of what makes Boynton Canyon such a magnetic spot is the fact that there are caves there as well, which are great meditation spots. Glastonbury in England, Mount Fuji, of course, in Japan. In these kind of are great examples of this, right? Now, there's also electromagnetic vortexes, and these are a mixture of both the male and the female. How do these look? They usually have a great number of hills or mountains, but also a combination of hills, mountains, and valleys. They are also very green and very verdant, usually. And oftentimes these places will have a high rainfall amount per year. The feeling of these kind of places is that you get that magnetic, relaxing, introspective feeling. But also there's a mixture of the electric, right? So there's a tingling, there's a motivating feeling as well. And what I like to say in electromagnetic vortexes is that these are a good place to get inspiration, to see the possibilities you have in your life, possibilities for maybe choices you want to make, possibilities for solving problems or career choices. Anything of that nature are very good to deal with in an electromagnetic vortex. As a result, these are very powerful locations on the earth. Great places for spiritual and emotional release, recharging, or simply renewal. And when used as a place of meditation and prayer, many people sense benefits that are absolutely incredible. And many times, they say it transformed their lives. They get insight, explanations and possibilities, healing, recharging, and just general spiritual inspiration, even enlightenment. So that is the nature of vortexes, both on a factual and somewhat scientific basis, but also on a spiritual basis. What people can achieve, what people can connect to through the earth for their own growth and development. And I know this is to be true because I've done a number of tours in Sedona and a few here as well. And I've seen it happen. When I take people on these tours, I don't tell them what to feel or experience. I simply let them tell me what their reactions are. And almost every time, it is in line with the general description of the vortex we're in. So I've seen this happen. It's remarkable, it's inspiring, and it's very rewarding for me as a spiritual practitioner. So these great vortexes and power spots are a reminder that mankind are children of the earth and not meant just to be its dominant master. We need to work with the natural forces of nature in these places to preserve the earth's great gifts and great potential, to see it as our home, not just as our physical home, but as our spiritual center and spiritual source. And that's why the vortexes are extremely important to me, and I try to introduce their possibilities to other people who come my way. Thank you for listening to me this morning, folks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.